Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 4, The Etheric Body. As with the physical body, I'm going to be speaking about the etheric body, particularly as it's manifesting round about ages 13 to 14 in the midst of the work that you're doing. So, just to recapitulate, of course, a little things that you already know about the etheric body, that it is the body that carries the memory of our karma. So the germ of the physical body is planted already at the midnight hour, which, by the way, in Steiner's classical picture of reincarnation, that midnight hour, the halfway point, is 500 years after a death. And the return to Earth is another 500 years, a much, much, much longer picture than is given in most popular renditions of reincarnation, some of which are almost instant. It's probably getting shorter, but still, I am going to be talking about aspects of the curriculum mostly in terms of this sort of classic thousand-year course of time. So the etheric body carries the intentionality of that midnight hour, and it has the responsibility. We might say that what goes on in the midnight hour is the blueprint or the three-dimensional sketch, you know, of what that body is going to look like. The etheric body is the contractor, not the architect anymore. But the etheric body's got to get that done, and hopefully on time, and maybe even under the estimated cost. And it's got its work cut out for it, for sure. But because the etheric body carries the memory of what we intended to have as a physical body 500 years before, it is a body of memory. It's carrying the memory of our intentions from the spiritual world. It also has imprinted within it, though in the deepest strata of its being, memories of previous lives. So very, very important what's there in the etheric body. In fact, we might say that Rudolf Steiner really introduced the etheric body to the world, that other spiritual teachers have generally conflated it with the astral body. So that pictures that are given of soul, it's usually in the hands of most spiritual teachers a combination of the etheric and the astral. Steiner teased the two of them out, which is invaluable for us as educators and helps us understand the difference in the soul life of the child at age 7 or 9 or 12 or 14, because whether the etheric is stronger or the astral is stronger or they're equal. So memory, formative forces, that's what form drawing is all about. It's helping the etheric body get a mirror image of itself, which helps the etheric body sort of regulate its activity. And it gives the teacher a picture, a diagnostic picture, a kind of etheric Rorschach of the child's forces of form. And very, very powerful, very important. Eurythmy in the younger grades also is working much more strongly on the etheric forces and helping those come into harmony and bring them into balance, and can make a very good difference if the eurythmy teacher understands that and understands no less essentially and importantly that come sixth grade, things are going to change and the etheric body will not be dominant anymore and the arrhythmy has to change completely. If you're continuing to teach children arrhythmy as though their etheric body was the dominant part of their nature when they're 12, 13, 14 and beyond, you probably are going to have a pretty wild class because you're not addressing the astral body, which then just has a grand old time being ignored and goes its own way. As I said, each of these bodies has an independent existence And it takes the ego of an adult to fully integrate them, and even that's kind of a lifelong work. So at age 9, there's a very important moment. Those of you who've taken the third grade conference and fourth grade conferences that we've done online have heard about this important meeting of the astral and the etheric body, in which the astral body is allowed to overstep its boundaries and dive a bit into the physical body of the child. And this creates tremendous issues, problems, sorrows, alienation, fears, nightmares, paranoia, everyone hates me, whatever. You see a little bit of astrality in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's very, very powerful. You know, you think that the astral body is coming from the planetary spheres. It's got a lot behind it. So the etheric body, however, learns from that experience. It's good for the 9-year change to happen. You want to stimulate it if it's not happening naturally. The etheric body sees the tactics, the strategies of the astral body, and vows not to allow that to happen again. And I can tell you that Waldorf kids, on the whole, statistically speaking, have easier adolescences than do their peers in other schools because of the 9-year change. Not so much because of the brilliance of teachers in the upper grades, but rather because we allow that 9-year change to happen and we meet it with the curriculum. So the etheric body now, from that point on, however, it has other work to do. It's no longer as active in the organization of the physical body as it was in earlier times. It's liberated increasingly from memory. And so up, I'd say, till about fifth grade, children's memory capacities grow and grow and grow to, you know, gigantic proportions. We don't ask nearly enough of children in our time. We don't have to memorize things. You know, the amount of poetry we give them to memorize, the songs, the plays, though it certainly exceeds what would be found in pretty much any other school system, but it's nothing compared to what they actually could do. We look back in ancient Greek times where, you know, every young Athenian man knew the Iliad and the Odyssey by heart. Not just the bards, but everybody learned that. That was your education. So there again, the etheric forces are very much there at the disposal of memory. And now as puberty comes, the etheric body has yet another task. And this is to work with the astral body in creating a whole new system. You know, we're starting to work now with all kinds of hormones coming into the body and a birth of a completely new system of chemicals. Good that we teach chemistry this year. And the etheric body, we could say, is very preoccupied with this, you know, last major growth period in the child's nature. So we can see when the etheric is active and strong, this is when children are putting on weight, when they're growing taller, and also when they're getting more fatigued, when they're tired all the time. And you see how even the, you know, brightest children in the class and the ones most eager to learn, they're falling asleep in the middle of main lesson, or by the end of main lesson, they're just exhausted, and the poor specialty teachers have to deal with a very fatigued group. Some of this certainly is that they're not getting enough sleep, but some of it is also that the etheric body is really working hard. And the etheric body can only be truly active when we are asleep. So it makes us tired so that it can wake up. And but when this happens, when there is this kind of twilight stage going on and the etheric is kind of within the child again, then the astral body is able to assert itself and is able to move in a somewhat untrammeled way. So we have this constant pendulum swing going on from puberty through adolescence of a period of growth and, you know, inner bodily differentiation where the etheric forces are very strong. And then in a way, they rest, they pull back, and suddenly the child's very awake and sharp and, you know, super active and a little crazy, and then it comes back. Sometimes one can be there for a month, the other there for a month. Sometimes it's a matter of hours or minutes as the child vacillates between one or the other. But the etheric body is definitely pulling back at this time as being the primary body in which the child's soul and spirit are making themselves manifest. And this is resulting in many changes, but one that I want to stress, which is remarkably ignored in the Waldorf movement. It is the etheric body that carries our temperament. It does this in harmony with the other bodies, but basically, temperament is a matter of the etheric body using the temperaments as its instruments to form the child's own physical body. It's sort of an artistic solution to the insoluble problem of bringing spirit and matter together. So the etheric body uses those temperaments. I've often said, maybe you've heard this in other lectures I've given, that the golden age of temperament is only 3 to 4 years. It's basically first grade through the end of third grade. For some children, the temperament still is a fairly dominant part of their nature through fourth grade as well. But after that, no. If we are only looking at the children in our class based on their temperaments, we're looking at a very small part of their nature. We're not really going to understand them. I mean, you know, then we sort of use the temperament as an excuse for our own inadequacies as a teacher or for our own inability to really see the children. The high school teachers know this. They don't work much with temperament. They work a lot with what's called the planetary types, which have a lot to do with the astral body. As I said, the astral body is really coming from the heights of the planets. But we need a kind of in-between, something that still has some of the qualities of the etheric, but is definitely awakening to the fact that the astral body is now stronger. And I would call this personality. And I don't just mean this in the sense of, you know, does he have a lot of personality or not, but rather in the term that one of Sigmund Freud's disciples, Alfred Adler, developed it, that there are two kinds of personalities, introverts and extroverts. So think about this. You still have the undercurrent, the sort of basso profundo going on of the temperament, but now beginning already in the middle of fourth grade, and coming much more strongly to the fore by the middle of sixth grade and on, you have now 8 kinds of children. You have introverted melancholics. They're a handful, I'll tell you. You have extroverted melancholics who aren't content with making themselves miserable, but want to make the whole class miserable as well. You have introverted phlegmatics, extroverted phlegmatics, and so on. So you've got the whole gamut from the introverted melancholic to the extroverted choleric, and this is why things get more intensified, because the etheric body, the temperaments are held in a kind of quality of etheric peace, you know? The etheric body keeps everything within a certain boundary. The astral body knows no boundaries. The astral body wants to range far and wide. So this is important. Recognize that for a child to be healthy at this age, the power of the temperaments must decrease so that the power of the personality can increase. And now we'll go on and look at the star of our show for this grade, the astral body.